Luke chapter 7. And we're going to have this, Catherine and Jen are going to play, I think, for all the saints. So just, my mind is getting booted up here. One thing at a time. So we're going to have that at the end, and then perhaps we'll join, they'll play, and we'll join in a chorus or two. Okay, Luke chapter number 7. We want to go on right to the next passage that we left off at this morning. We looked at Luke 7, 1 through 10, and tonight we want to take a brief look at verses 11 through 17. This is an extraordinary miracle. This is stunning beyond words. It's only mentioned here, and I want to touch on what just at least part of the reason why I think this is here and what we're supposed to get out of it. And I want to speak to you tonight briefly on this subject, unasked gifts. I'm glad there is such a thing as unasked gifts. And the fact is that this is in here, I think this whole chapter is in here to encourage your faith and to exercise it. We do not ask enough. God has much more to give us than we are taking. We need to ask more. And I think a right survey of this chapter will help us to ask more. We want to look tonight at unasked for gifts. Look at verse number 11. And it came to pass the day after, that is the day after he healed the nobleman's servant, that he went into a city called Nain, and many of his disciples went with him, and much people, crowd, went with him. Now when he came nigh to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. So here's a crowd coming into the city, and here's a crowd coming out of the city, and they're going to meet. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier, the coffin, and they that bare him stood still, and he said, young man, I say unto thee, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a great fear on all, and they glorified God, saying that a great prophet is risen up among us, and that God hath visited his people. And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. Unasked for gifts. Now, the Bible says about our Lord Jesus Christ that he is the brightness of the Father's glory and the express image of his person. That God the Father and God the Holy Spirit and God the Son are all exactly alike. And that we, in Christ, we see the character of God made visible that we wouldn't otherwise be able to see. And notice one of the things we learn about God from this passage, if you look please at verse 13, that God is compassionate. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her. God is compassionate. He is compassionate. Jeremiah said his mercies are new every morning because he's a compassionate God. God is compassionate. And one thing he's communicating here is that God is aware of the appalling grief that engulfs people, and especially his people, but not only his people, all people. This is a striking event as we note that Capernaum and Nain, this city, are at least 20 miles apart. He walked 20 miles at a great crowd of people. And this was timed perfectly. That they were coming out of the city just as he was coming in. And this woman was very in appalling grief. You know that her son died, predeceased her. That was difficult for a parent. Predeceased her only son, predeceased her. She's already a widow. And this is just even when the people know the Lord, the way to the graveyard is the hardest part of really, you know, when you're going to bury, when the burying. And so, and this funeral, you know, we have our way of doing funerals here. In almost all the funerals, there will be someone from the funeral home, these attendants in black suits and so forth, and they have little things that they do. Guide the people, come and so forth. Well, they had this too. They had their own funeral etiquette, and the Jews had in their religious literature, it's commonly accepted that a man whose wife died was the least he could do or should do was to hire at least two flute players and one mourner. Now, this sounds odd, but they did that. And probably they would, like we have, hire the services of funeral home, and they do things. And they would hire someone to sing laments and to play music, and it would be sad music. And so you're watching here a processional with the mourning, with the music, a large crowd, a widow burying her son. And you notice that Jesus has walked 20 miles to intercept this procession at just the right time and just the right place. And notice it says he had compassion on her. He is moved by his pity. And notice that he brings to her unasked gifts. Unasked. In this miracle, and it is a miracle, it is a stunning one. How could you have a more stunning miracle than this? And just imagine if it's possible that, you know, we had one of our parents here, lost a child. We're having a funeral next week, and it's in the middle of the funeral, and someone gets in, and all of a sudden the funeral stops, and the person we were mourning sits up and starts talking. I mean, that's what happened. It is a stunning, mind-boggling miracle. And please notice that this woman, as far as we know, did not exercise any faith at all. None. Not a bit. But God's compassions are there, even whether people have faith or not. And notice this, that she didn't, no petition, no expectation, not the least trace of faith or hope, drew from him this mighty miracle. It came welling up from his own heart, said Alexander McLaren. No faith. No hope, no expectation. It just came because of the compassionate nature of God. And he decided to do this. Just came that way. And one of the things that you gather from this chapter in Luke, all these incidents, and including this one, is not only that God is compassionate, but that God is working. He is working even when we're not working. He is busy showing forth grace when we are completely oblivious of it, when we aren't exercising any faith, yet God is working. Jesus told these people one time, he said, they were demanding an explanation for his identity and what he was doing, and he just said, well, my Father works and I work. And they just said, I'm just doing what he's doing. My Father works and I work. That's a good measure of where a person is in the Lord. our God, our Father, is still working, and his children who are in communion with him, they're working too. That's how it works. He works, and that commences our work. Well, God is working even when we're not. You know, if you look again at Luke 7, 1 to 10, we're not going to read any of those verses, but those of you here this morning, you may recall that this man, this centurion, this marvelous exhibit of kingdom living, what we understand this passage to say is that he attained more, a higher level of spiritual living than anyone Jesus had encountered up to that point. Maybe after that point. But he said, I've found so great faith, not in Israel. Now, that was a man of great faith. Now, as we look at that story, it's encouraging on the one hand, but you know, as you read that, it can also be discouraging. Say, you know, because after all, these centurion, he was born in Rome, born in paganism, and he didn't have great teaching. But he really ascended. I mean, and you can look at that and say, you know, I've had more opportunities than he has, and I haven't even, you know, I'm so far behind him. And you can really read that and be discouraged and say, you know, he's so diligent, and he's using every little bit of light, capitalizing, exchanging it for an extraordinary kingdom life. But you know, there is, in this chapter in Luke, there are many, many, many illustrations of God's working to encourage everybody, not to be discouraging. You can look at him and say, and maybe you've had this happen before, you've looked at people and say, you know, she's had less time and opportunity, but she lives a far better life than I do, or he does. And you could really look at that and be actually discouraged. But here, there's many other things in this chapter that are there to encourage you. How much help there is for God for all of us wherever we are in the spectrum. Look, I want to ask you just for a moment to turn back to Luke 5, 11 and 12. And as we read the gospel, he presumes that you're keeping something in mind of what went before it. And look at this. We want to consider just briefly the different people who got help and how they got it. How help came to them. Now there is the point of this passage, in my opinion, that Luke 7, we're looking at this woman. One of the main points in this is that there is help for people. All the help you need is there, and lots of times it's there. We just don't ask for it. And lots of times things come unasked for with a view of helping us to ask more, to increase our faith. But let's look at how blessings came to these different ones. For example, here's a leper. He's in bad shape. Look at Luke 5, verse 12. And it came to pass, when he was in a certain city, behold, a man full of leprosy, who seeing Jesus, fell on his face and besought him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And he put forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean. And immediately the leprosy departed from him. Well, that was great. And here's an example where this man made a petition for himself. He said, Lord, if you could help me, if you'd help me, you can make me clean. And he said, he made the petition. He got it. And so that's one. That's very plain. He made a petition for himself, and he connected. And then let's turn back to Luke 7. Here is the centurion. We looked at him this morning. And he makes a request, really, for someone else, for his servant. And he connected. He got help. Extraordinary help. That poor fellow, that young man, the young servant was back there writhing in pain. Every muscle probably hurt. His joints hurt. He couldn't have felt any more miserable than he did. And lo and behold, not knowing all what was going outside, people were interceding and praying for him, and he was better. His muscles didn't hurt. Nothing hurt. He was well. And he got help. What a blessing that is. So here's the leper. He asked for himself. He got it. Here's the centurion. He asks for somebody else. He got it. Now notice the next one. Here, we look at this woman. Folks, she doesn't ask at all. She didn't exercise any faith. And folks, she got help.
She didn't even ask.
But God, in His compassion, blessed this woman. Didn't ask at all and got help. And the point is, there's lots of help for people if they'll ask. Now, He's not just doing this with the expectation that she's not going to ask. Now, you can be sure this incident never left her mind. Every waking hour in this woman's life, somewhere this was going in her mind, that her son was stopped in the mule on the way to the graveyard. You know, she never forgot it. And you can be sure you're not reading anything into this to assume that she was exercising faith after this. Surely she would be. But, you know, later on in Luke, Jesus will. In other words, this is an encouragement to faith. There's help there. The leper got help asking for himself. The centurion got help asking for somebody else. This woman got help without asking at all. And all these things are encouragement for you and me to ask. Jesus said this in Luke 18. He said, there's a certain judge, there's a certain widow who beseeched this judge all the time for justice. And the judge didn't fear God or man. He just said, she just keeps asking. I'm going to give her what she wants and get her off my back. And Jesus said, now hear what the unjust judge says. If this man would answer, how much more will I answer? He said, how much more? He began the parable by saying, listen, men ought always to pray and not faint. Jesus himself in Matthew 5 prays all night. He exercises faith, the God-man. And he tells you, he tells me, now what you need to do, you ought always to pray and not to faint, because God will answer. And then he says at the end of that pathetic parable, he says, I've told you about faith, I've showed you faith, I've done miracles, and sometimes they have not even asked for. And then he says this, he asks this question for you to ponder. He says, nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find what on the earth? What is he looking for? When the Son of Man comes, will he find what on the earth? Faith. You can see he's looking in the whole thing. He says, I am trying to encourage your faith. You need faith. You need to grow your faith, exercise your faith. And I'm telling you, men ought always to pray and not to faint. And he says, nevertheless, though I've illustrated this, pointed it out, practiced it, when I come back, will the Son of Man find faith on the earth? And the implied answer is, not very much. That's the point. Well, this is in here to encourage our faith. There's help. Here is unasked for help. I like to get what Alexander McLaren said about this. I didn't put it in my notes, so I'll just read it to you. If heaven waited until men's prayers had forced its gate ere it sent forth its greatest gift, it had waited forever and all mankind had perished. God's love flows out of His own expansive, diffusive nature. You know, we read that this morning. God is love. And nothing has to prime His pump to make Him loving. He just is. And He doesn't change. But it is this, that He has ordained this, that we should exercise faith. Here's an example where it shows His compassions are there even when people don't even realize it or ask for it. He said, but they're there anyway. I think that's part of the point. Will He find faith on the earth? I want to point out just briefly one other thing and conclude. Look at the end of this chapter, Luke 7, verse 36 to 50, and I won't read all the chapter there, the verse, but it talks about a woman. And it says about in verse 37, Luke, by the Spirit, says a woman which was a sinner. Then it says about her in verse 39, a Pharisee which sat at meat at dinner. End of verse 39, he describes this character to her. She's a sinner. And if you read a little more into that, you see what kind of sinner. And then look what Jesus said, verse 47. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins which are many. Now what I want to point out just briefly is the character of this woman. Luke by the Spirit says she's a sinner. The Pharisee got this much right, that she was a notorious woman. And Jesus himself says her sins are not few, but a what? Yeah. Do you know a woman like this probably has no friends? Women don't respect other women like this. They don't. And men don't love women like this, except like a dog loves Alpo. And men don't love women like that. They don't. They might use them, but they don't love them. And you know, this is a pitiful thing. This is this woman's way down. You talk about somebody who's, in a way, she's worse off than the widow. You know, the widow at least still had her honor. But look at this. If this is an encouragement, for you know, our God is very compassionate, and He is kind to the evil and the unthankful. And look how this chapter ends. Look at Luke 7. I'd say it's in here. We're considering this subject, unasked for gifts. And this, look at what He said to this woman. Verse 48, and He said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Of course, those people who sat at meat were astonished. What? Well, how do you account for that? Look at verse 50, and He'll tell you how He accounts for it. And He said to the woman, this friendless woman at the bottom rung of everything, this is a friendless woman. This is a woman who really is relationally bankrupt, and in other ways too, probably. He said to the woman, thy faith has saved thee. Go home in peace. Now, all the things that were wrong in this woman's life, you talk about someone, a needy person. This woman went home, Jesus said, in peace. He sent her home in peace. How did that happen? He tells you how it happened. He said, your faith. Your faith could restart a life like this or begin anew. I don't mean that she didn't have any more difficulties. She probably did. But she went home in peace. Her sins are forgiven. And if He could do something for her, you know, there's hope for everyone. Now, I want to just conclude this third point. Mature disciples read the New Testament epistles and set their ultimate hope on a yet more glorious day. You know, this miracle that we looked at briefly, and probably could say more about it, but I've told you pretty much everything I know about it except for this last thing. And that is this. These miracles that Jesus did, you could, stunning as it was, astonishing as it was yet really what you could call a watercolor illustration of a yet more glorious day. You know, don't forget, the fellow died again. I don't know how long he lived, but he died. He got sick again. Something took him. He's not alive today, so he died. It was a temporary thing. And but it was an illustration. Every miracle of God does is really a sort of a prophecy of a greater thing that's coming. The miracles are prophecies. So what is this a prophecy of? Now I want to ask you to try to put yourself back in this processional. And folks, this was a funeral, just like funerals you've been to. And it is a sad thing. I don't care who you are, how callous you are. When they start wheeling them down the aisle and head to the graveyard, you know, it's a pain. It's a pull, isn't it? He stopped. And he got up and started talking. Now, you put yourself back there and think, what did these people think? He tells you in there, they were frightened. I would be too. I'd be afraid. And he brought them back. These people, all these jaws had to drop wide open. They must have been fearful. Once he started talking, and there must have been sounds that the people must have murmured or shouted, or what they were stunned. Imagine, just try and imagine how stunned you would be. Resurrections weren't more common then than they are now. And you would have been astonished. So that was one middle-aged fellow, probably, who was raised. But all right, how about this? Don't you know that that is nothing else but a prophecy of a yet more glorious day when the saints triumphant are going to rise in brighter ray? Think what this is going to be like.
You could see this in the epistles, or but we'll just look at this one. We'll conclude here. Look at John 5 just for a moment. John 5 and verse 24 or 5. This is that one where they asked for an explanation. He just, who he was and what he's doing. He said, well, my Father's working and I'm working. I'm just the image of him. You're just, what I'm doing, he's doing. And this is a compassionate work. And they didn't like that. And they said, well, this is, let me just, since you, that bothers you, I think I'll up it a little bit. He said, verse 25, verily, verily, just double emphasis, I send you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead shall hear the voice of the Son of God, and they that hear shall live. Verse 28, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice. Well, think what this is going to be like. Do you expect to see this? There's going to be a resurrection with all these bodies. And they are going to come out new bodies. What an astonishing thing the future holds. And he's going to do it. Now, he raised the one, and those people must have been shocked. I'm sure they were. You know, the Bible says when he comes again, he will be marveled at in all his saints. One of the reasons he's going to be marveled at is because the appearing in 1 Thessalonians tells us it's going to coincide with the resurrection. He said, and 1 Corinthians says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the dead shall be raised, incorruptible. This mortal must put on immortality. Well, I just wanted you to think about that. There's a yet more glorious day coming. And we're going to be stunned. That is our hope. That's our expectation. That's the promise of God. But in the meantime, I hope you will just consider this, what we've skimmed over. We've just been considering, in Luke 7, unasked for gifts. And I want to remind you, the leper, he's in chapter 5, but he counts anyway. The leper asked for himself, and he connected. He got help. The centurion asked for a servant. He got help. The widow didn't ask at all, and she got help. The poor woman with no friends, she got help too. She went home in peace with her sins forgiven and a new start. Unasked for gifts. As I was reading Psalms today, I read this in Psalm 33. Psalm 33:5. He loveth righteousness and judgment. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. And if we have eyes to see it and faith to grasp it, there's lots, lots he wants to give us. Unasked for gifts. So if he gives unasked for gifts, what about if we bow and ask? So let's bow prepared just for a moment. And this, the Lord shows his great compassion and his great power. And maybe you can think of somebody who has given up. And they just don't believe in compassion. And would you just ask the Lord to intervene in their life unasked? You know, that they're not exercising their faith. You exercise faith for them, intercessory faith. And dear Lord, as we bow before you this day, we thank you for the compassion we see for this widow. And we believe there's compassion. You said you so loved the world, and we ask our lives would be more and more object lessons of faith, receiving, connecting faith, and that others might obtain what you're willing to give them. We pray with thanksgiving in Jesus' name. Amen. Now the girls are going to play For All the Saints, and Jen and Catherine, if you want to come. And one of the, I think Taylor gave me this copy of For All the Saints. It has 11 stanzas in it. And you might want to just look at yours. But one of these stanzas says this, two of them.
And when the strife is fierce, the warfare long, steals on to hear the distant triumph song. And hearts are brave again and arms are strong. Hallelujah. But lo, there breaks a yet more glorious day. The saints triumphant rise in bright array. A king of glory passes on his way. Right? So that's what we're sort of looking at tonight. We're going to see a greater expression of this someday in person.